This is Watching With No Eyes, a film podcast where we give our subjective opinions on various movies. Now I know what you're thinking. You blind genius, what an original concept. And to you I say, thanks, I came up with it myself. Here's the music. Thank you for joining us again today. Hopefully we didn't annoy people too much with our reviews of the Star Wars films last week. But joining me again, so returning, are Yvonne and Yayan. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Let's see if we can irritate anyone else with opinions. But today we have assembled, as it were, to talk about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, otherwise known as the MCU. Obviously, with there being 23 films, this isn't going to be one episode. But thankfully, it's been done in three phases, so a phase, an episode. So our rankings today, we've again got five tiers. From top to bottom, it is superior, amazing, friendly, venomous, and carnage. Again, all Marvel themed, admittedly, more specifically Spider-Man, but shock horror, my favourite character. Before we get to the films, shall I ask Yvonne, Yayan, it's up to you who goes first, I guess. Your overall thoughts when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe?
Well, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. How interested you... Did you watch it from the beginning, or is it one of those things that you came onto?
Yeah, I found the Avengers film from, 2012?
Yes, that's when it came out.
I found that one. I can't remember how, but I found it. And I remember watching it and thinking, wow, this is really good.
Sure.
And then I ended up watching it again and again and again. And that was one day. Yeah. And then the next day I redid that again, watched it over and over. And I was just a big fan. I thought, oh, that's a really good film. I hope they're doing more. And then a couple weeks later, I think it was, my dad was watching some TV. And he went, oh, look, that's that guy from that film you like. And it was the Captain America film.
Okay.
And I realized, oh, they all have their individual films as well.
Yeah.
And that's how I got into it and found out about the comics and everything.
Yeah. Good stuff. And yourself, Yayan? Felsi, we don't need to go into too much detail about your opinion on the films, obviously, as that'll be coming up. But did you watch it from the beginning, or was it a similar sort of situation to Yvonne?
A kind of similar sort of situation. I believe I remember watching the old film on TV, not realising that it was linked to anything, or not realising the years they came out. Like, I think I watched the Iron Man film once and thought, oh, that's cool, and then I went to the cinema to see the Avengers at one point when it came out. I was like, thinking, oh, it's the same. The same thing, it's all linked. I need to look for more of these, and then I just remember looking for them on DVD, and then obviously I was more at that point into the animated stuff, which to most nerds out there is the nerdiest thing you could possibly say even to them. So I watched some of the older cartoon shows, and then when I realised how many films they were building up, when I went to see like Winter Soldier in the cinema, I think is when I really got into it. And obviously when we were in college and we just started watching them more, that's how I just continued that pattern since then.
Sure. Yeah. That's fair. Funnily enough, I have a similar sort of story to both of you in one way, because technically the first MCU film I ever watched was Iron Man 2, which was because as much of a superhero fan as I was as a kid, I just sort of drifted away from it growing up, and that, you know, when a mate of mine wanted to see Iron Man 2, so I went along with him, wasn't that bothered about it. I was actually confused because the only thing I knew about Iron Man at that point was the cartoon show, which I believe is called Armored Adventures, where Tony is a teenager. Yeah, obviously, in Iron Man 2, Robert Downey Jr., you know, grown man, I thought it was a bit odd. Then obviously, yeah, Avengers came out, saw the trailers, heard about it as well, and then I was in sixth form at the time, and there was one of my friends very much into comic books and all of that. Started having a conversation with him, you know, about the anticipation for the film on the bus, and then he was telling me about all the previous films that had come out, and I was like, well, I want to be caught up. So I went out and, you know, went on Amazon, I think, that night, and bought, you know, all five films on DVD prior to The Avengers, and watched them, made sure I watched them before the film came out in the cinema. But and I saw Avengers three times in the cinema.
That's a good one.
Yeah. The which, if people are curious to know, is not uncommon for me to have done since. We'll often watch a film multiple times in the cinema. Because it's the best place to watch a film, in my mind. But so I guess we will start talking about Iron Man. Obviously, the film came out in 2008. As I said, Tony Stark / Iron Man, played by Robert Downey Jr. You've got Gwyneth Paltrow playing Pepper Potts. Terrence Howard playing Rhodey. Obviously, that wouldn't last, but we'll get to that. And you have Jeff Bridges playing Obadiah Stane. And the film is directed by Jon Favreau, who's obviously continued his appeal to pop culture with his work on The Mandalorian recently. But start with you, Yvonne. What's your thoughts on this film?
Well, I don't know. It's a bit, because I rewatched it a couple of days ago for this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, it's a really good introduction to the superhero and his character, his background. And you really, really get a really good feel of who he is as a character, his characteristics, his personality. But I'm aware this is just me not being the biggest fan of Iron Man. He's an okay person. He's all right.
I mean, on one side of the matter, Yvonne, respect your opinion. On the other side, my god, the Twitter flame war begins now. And we're only on film one.
Oh god.
So I guess before getting to Yvonne, though, what about the performances?
Oh, I thought they were brilliant.
Yeah.
You can really tell as well that they have chemistry, all characters together. Or like the actress.
Yeah.
It's just nice to watch it, and you get this feeling that as if they already know each other, which obviously the characters already do. So I think that's amazing. You get that in all the Iron Man films.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think I've heard a lot of people say, you know, they don't normally care about the romance in comic book films, but one where they do, because it may be a combination of the writing, but potentially primarily, as you said, the chemistry of the actors. You know, people do are invested in Tony and Pepper.
Yeah. And then you obviously also have Robert Downey Jr., who is just basically real-life Iron Man.
Yeah, a lot of people do say, isn't it, that as far as casting goes, it's pretty bang on the money. And as you say, it's quite accurate to him in real life, obviously. And it's funny to think how, you know, back in, I guess, when would it have been, they'd been casting the film, 2006. You know, it was, you know, it was a risk. It was very much considered a risk to hire him.
Cause, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, because of his, you know, previous exploits. You know, he had a history of, I believe, drugs and alcohol, and being problematic on set. But apparently, yeah, Jon Favreau really went to bat for him. It's why. Apparently, it's one of the big components of why Robert Downey Jr. Did appear in Favreau's, you know, smaller film Chef. Was sort of a you know, repayment for the faith that Favreau put in him.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, supposedly, and I think it's needless to say that it very much revitalized Rob, you know, Downey Jr.'s career.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't fear. It's probably one of the biggest understatements ever, to be honest. But what about yourself, Ian, when it comes to this film?
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I didn't want to say, actually, as we get to these, whatever I individually rank them as, I'm not saying any of them are bad. Because I love all the films in this. So even if I rank one as lower than the other, like, it's not at all.
Sure.
But yeah, I think that this film, as in the first Iron Man film, I just think it's... I remember not necessarily liking it too much when I first watched it, and then rewatching it several times with Disney Plus, obviously for this at the same time. I just remember liking it more and more, and I think it's a really great introduction, not just to the MCU, but to the characters. And it really sort of... I think as Yvonne sort of echoed it, it makes you realise whether you love Iron Man's character through Robert Downey Jr.'s iteration or hate him. You're gonna, there's no in-between. You're either going to love it or just hate it ever so slightly, but I absolutely love it, and I like it. It's just a really good... intro. It's both the MCU and Downey's Iron Man.
Yeah.
Character.
No, that's fair point. I mean, I really enjoyed the film. I think it isn't probably overall when it comes to the MCU. It's not even in my top 10. I have to admit, but I do think for a beginning. to you know, the MCU as a whole, I think it's a very strong beginning, as you guys have said. Great introduction. I think it's a fun film, which to me is pretty much with all of the MCU. There's a couple of exceptions, and even then they still have their fun bits, you know. Or, you know, that's one of the best ways I'd say to describe you know, this universe, is that it's fun, which I think is a big reason why I'm such a fan of it. It has to be said. And yeah, just, you know, it's got some quotable lines. Stanley cameo that's very, in comparison to some of his others, though, it's weird because I prefer the cameos where he does say something, and that might be, I'm pretty sure that's a result of, you know, me being, you know, blind And even though I can see the screen, you know, when it's just a moment of passing, I'm not going to be able to see, you know, someone. But I am aware that it's him, especially like obviously a lot of people talk about it, and you know, watching with audio description, it does you know, let you know that Stanley is who Tony is talking to when you know, he gets in the car, you know, mistaking him for Hugh Hefner.
But I think that's it's quite a reasonable, you know, thing to prefer when he speaks, because it's not as, I don't know, epic, I suppose would be the word, to sort of see on screen, or especially if audio describe is telling you that it's there after it's happened. So it makes sense.
Yeah, no, I'd say so. So, I guess for this first one, what tier would you put it in, Yvonne? Go to you first.
I think I put it in friendly.
That's fair. That's what I thought you would go for. What about yourself, Yoann?
It's kind of middle of the road for me in terms of phase one films. I say that like I haven't just deliberated over it for hours before this, which I genuinely have because I'm that much of a nerd. But yeah, I think I'm torn between friendly and amazing, but I think I'm gonna have to put it in friendly. Friendly for now, anyway. Probably change in a day.
Fair enough. I think, well, as we said, due to democracy, we're going to be putting it in friendly. But I guess I will say my piece that I probably would have put it in amazing, maybe bottom-ish of amazing. Granted, it may not be right at the top, so I'd be happy to have it in friendly, and but you know, right at the top, as it were. If we were able to have that, you know, visual representation. So just, you know, just people just picture it in their heads as they're listening. Well, so next is The Incredible Hulk. Often forgotten, I think it's fair to say, by many, when it comes to it being a second in the MCU. Also came out in 2008, like a month or two after Iron Man. Starring Edward Norton as Bruce Banner. You've got, make sure I got, Liv Tyler, I believe that's right, as Betty Ross. Tim Roth as Abomination. And William Hurt as General Ross. And as far as the director of the film, I can I'm not sure how to say his last name, so I feel really bad for that. But when I got it on dictation, I think it's like Louis Latara. I couldn't. I apologize.
Singleton. I don't.
So I guess apologies to him if he ever listens to this, or to anyone who has the same last name. You know. So we'll come to you first, Joanne. What's your thought on this film as a whole?
I honestly really enjoyed it. As you all know, we started wanting to rank these films in phases. I remembered that I'd never actually finished seeing the Incredible Hulk film and thought, oh, I don't remember enjoying it. Then I watched it, like, this is actually really decent. And I just loved all of it all the way through, with like the whole being on the run thing, the quote of, I think it was, "You don't want to make me hungry," when he messes up the language.
Yeah.
That was really well done, and just you could kind of see, I could kind of buy sort of the romantic interest between him and Liv Tyler, I believe it is, Taylor.
Yeah, Tyler, that's the actress, yeah. Betty Ross is the character, yeah.
Is the character? Yeah, I know. I was just trying to the actor's name.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, you could really like sort of feel that, in my opinion, it was played for comedy in the right way when it was, and it was played for seriousness in the right way when it was. So I really, it's an enjoyable film, I think it's fair to say.
That's fair. Yvonne?
I agree with that, to be honest. It's enjoyable. It's not incredible, like the name says, but it's enjoyable. I mean, because in that time, you know, superhero films, they were sort of like that, you know. It's this superhero who's struggling, and there's a love interest, and then there's a, you know, an enemy, and then somehow defeating the enemy means that you get a kiss from the girl. It's a little bit like that, obviously, but for what it is, it's really good. Maybe not my favorite film, but I have to admit that the whole thing with Abomination is pretty cool.
What, the fight scene?
Kind of everything about just Abomination. Everything.
Yeah. I think it's a real shame that he hasn't been back, and this is why I think this film is forgotten in a way, because as far as returning characters, we didn't get any until obviously beginning of Phase 3 in Captain America Civil War with, you know, General Ross.
Yeah.
That was literally the first return of a character from this film, obviously not including Bruce Banner himself, who, of course, which we'll get onto, is, you know, recasted for Avengers with Mark Ruffalo. I guess this would be, I suppose we can compare more when we talk about that film, but are you guys a fan of Edward Norton's performance in this film?
No.
No?
No.
Is it because, is it potentially though because you saw Mark Ruffalo first, do you think, or?
You know, maybe, but at the same time, there's something about Edward Norton. It feels like Edward Norton just plays Edward Norton.
That's fair.
And I know that Robert Downey Jr. also does that a little bit, but it's different because...
More charisma.
I was going to say, but I didn't want to be rude.
I mean, it's kind of hard to... I mean, you know, I'm pretty confident that they're not going to be too... they're not going to hear this. And let's be honest, if they do and they take a little bit of offence, there is this cynical part of me that goes, you know, boo-hoo, crying your money.
I don't think
Edward Norton's going to care what we say, is my point.
Oh, no.
He doesn't seem to care about much, just generally.
Well, that's the thing as well, yeah. Like, overall, he seems to have a pretty, you know, he just doesn't seem to be too bothered by things, which is fine.
Yeah.
I mean, what you say there, I can't really comment because I don't think I've watched any other films with Edward Norton in.
You haven't watched Fight Club?
No, I've not watched Fight Club.
No.
I would like to, because it's again a film classic, and as a film fan, I would like to, but no audio description, I'm pretty sure, so it does tamper it slightly for me. Eventually, I'll get around to it, I'm sure. But yeah, no, funny enough, I think the only film I've watched Edward Norton in that I can think of off the top of my head is he voices a character, a bagel, in Sausage Party. That is the only one. And all things considered, and this is apparently what they were going for, in that film he's doing a Woody Allen impression, so... Well,
oh, okay.
Yeah, so back to Incredible Hulk. but yeah, I mean you mentioned Abomination, that I agree with that. I enjoy a lot of things with Abomination. Very fist pumping as well, the climactic fight they have, you know. Hulk using a police car as boxing gloves, you know, it's a lot of fun. And I'd say on the audio description side, I had never watched the film with it, as a result of it not being on the DVD, but it was actually Yayan who brought it to my attention that where they put it on Netflix, that did have audio description. So I watched it not that long ago, actually. I think earlier in April, and yeah, it was watching it with AD just really added to the film for me. And where prior I thought, it might be my least favorite of the MCU films, it might still be if I really thought it through and actually like try to rank them right next to each other. But it's not as low down as I would have thought. To say where I think prior I thought, a 6, 6.5 out of 10. I think for me now it's like, 7 out of 10, say, to give an idea.
It's just a very forgettable film for some reason.
Again, I think the lack of references may ha is a possible reason for it, which again comes from the fact that I think it is a result of Edward Norton being in it, not Mark Ruffalo. The whole Universal Studios having the rights to the whole character. That's why it's distributed by Universal Studios and not Paramount, which all the which of all of Phase One, or other than this film, are, as Marvel Studios had a deal with them, which ended with the second film in Phase Three, because Phase Two, sorry, because I know Iron Man 3 was the last Paramount distributed film. But I think that's a big reason. Apparently, they do now have, like, Marvel Studios do have the complete rights back recently, I saw. But I'm not 100% if that is the actual case. But that's why you say we never fully got a sequel to this as well, is because of the distribution rights at the time. Least that's what was always said. But I, yeah, it's not. Because it just seems weird that, Abomination's not come back in any way or another.
Or at least referenced or
Yeah.
anything.
No, exactly. Because the only time the only reference to the film I can think, obviously, other than William Hurt returning as General as Thunderbolt Ross later, is of in Avengers, it's said that, last time Hulk was in. Last time Bruce was in New York, he, destroyed Harlem.
That's true.
That's the last. That's because that's obviously said in Avengers. But yeah. I think unless if anyone has anything else to say on it, I think we've at the point of ranking. So, Yain, shall I ask you first?
Thinking on this film ranking wise, I think, as Yvonne said, it just seems it's a good film. I like it for what it does, but it becomes so forgettable. I think you have to rank a category as 4 or possibly even 5, but I think I'd go for 4 at the most. I wouldn't go.
I would definitely have said that if you put it in Carnage, I think that would be very unfair.
Yeah, I think it would be. So I think I'd go for Venomous because I think it could be friendly if it was more referenced and at least more talked about, but for obvious reasons it's not. So I think it does hurt it a bit.
That's fair. Yvonne?
Yeah, I agree with that because it's on its own it's a good film. It's just that in the MCU you kind of forget about it. So Venomous.
Okay. Again, we'll say that then as obviously a majority, but I guess for what it's worth, I would have said friendly.
Yeah.
A certain, but
Done
we'll go with the majority again, so Venomous it is. Now we have we move on to 2010, which saw the release of Iron Man 2. Again, Jon Favreau returns to direct. You have Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, both returning. The w role of Rhodey recasted, and Don Cheadle plays him instead of Terrence Howard. That's supposedly a whole bit of a messy situation when it comes to contracts and amount being paid, if everything's to be believed. But we've never had official confirmation. And then our two villains are Mickey Rourke playing Ivan Vanko, aka Whiplash. And also you have Sam Rockwell playing Justin Hammer. Yvonne, do you want to go ahead first with when it comes to your thoughts on this film?
Yeah. I think it's actually a pretty good film. And I know that in the past I've been a bit like, oh, don't want to watch it again. Ugh. And I also actually didn't buy the DVD. That was because when I was buying all of them, I purposefully did not buy the second Iron Man film because I was like, I don't want to watch that again anyway.
Right.
And then I rewatched it now, not too long ago. And it's not actually bad. I kind of enjoyed it a bit more than the first Iron Man, probably because the characters are established and you get some more insight into them. And I also sure. just really enjoyed the inner journey of Tony, of his fear of potentially dying and how he's handling that. And I also have to just mention that I absolutely love how they treated it being a different actor for Rhodey.
Well, his opening line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was laughing a bit when I heard that again. No, it's really well.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. It is quite a good way of doing it. Like, what's the line again? It's there, like, was it, yeah, I'm here, get used to it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
it's the first line he says, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly.
And then the last fight is actually really beautiful. Obviously, they're fighting. It's a bit weird to say it's beautiful, but it's just, I think it's really, really nicely shot. It's really, like, I don't know, I think it's a park or something or whatever it was, but it was just really pretty. And then you have all the lights and it's a bit dark, so the lights are really
sure.
you know, distinguished. So it was really pretty in a visual perspective. So I don't know, I really enjoyed it.
Do you think it's the effects are better than in the first film?
I would say so at some point.
Okay.
Sometimes you can tell a little bit that they put a bit more effort in the final act than the rest of the film. But
sure.
otherwise it's all right.
That's fair. How about yourself, Yain?
Yeah, I really liked this film. When I first watched it, and more so when I realised rewatching it, I don't know why I realised this on first viewing, but when I realised rewatching it, that they did I think they were adapting from the Demon in a Bottle storyline.
I think it was there was definitely inspiration taken, yeah, with Tony's alcoholism without explicitly calling it alcoholism, because you have that scene at the party, you know, where he urinates in the Iron Man suit, and he's clearly, you know, he's hammered.
Oh yeah, and I think that was done really well. I just really, when I realised that, I really appreciated that sort of nod. As you say, Rhodey's first line was as well, and I really liked it. I think, thinking about it, that with the Iron Man films, or at least the first two, I need to rewatch the third one, to be honest, to judge this as a whole trilogy again, because I haven't seen that one in a while. But with the Iron Man films, it's going to be really a much of a struggle for me to rank it in either friendly or amazing. I think that's where that sort of, it's going to be a struggle for me for either of those two categories.
Sure. One thing I feel like should mention, actually, before going into my thoughts of the film, obviously, you know, you have the post-credit scene at the end of the first film where we have the introduction of Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. We get more of an idea of him as a character in this film, and S.H.I.E.L.D. as a whole, which is, again, you know, is introduced in the first film, but we get more of an idea of it here. And that includes, you know, the introduction of Black Widow. Obviously, played by Scarlett Johansson. who I don't think it's unfair to say has become quite controversial over the years. But staying away from that, what do I mean, if you can stay away from that, what do you guys think of her introduction as a character?
It's good and it's bad. I think it's good in the sense of it was just funny how she just manages to almost knock Happy out just so casually as well. There's a very interesting way to show who she actually is. And I thought it was also interesting to see how much effort she would go. She would do to be a different identity, you know, get a little bit of insight into her character as a as an agent. But I thought it was a bit odd that she her body was used as a bit of a, you know, visual pleasure, especially because when Tony well, searches her up on the internet, the pictures you get are her being a model. And I just thought it was very obvious that someone who looks good obviously has to be a model.
Sure.
I just, I don't know. I thought they could have done something else with that, but you know.
Yeah, I get your point. Also, because also the images is not something I've obviously noticed. I did know that the idea was that she'd been a model, so I guess self-explanatory. But I often, overall, definitely when I first watched it, I thought, you know, for an introduction, it works quite well as far as showing, like you say, it's giving an idea of the kind of agent she is. Also gives you more of a dive into S.H.I.E.L.D. I know a big thing people don't like is that she never really did a Russian accent. Which, more and more I think about it, does seem odd to me, especially now that, you know, we have the solo Black Widow film coming out soon. And, you know, all of the other people around her, you know, Florence Pugh, I think it's Rachel Weisz and David Harbour, I think is it. Like, they're all doing Russian accents in the film. So it just seems odd to me that she never. I know some people could say if she'd been living in America for a while, her accent could have gone over time. Because I know that's one thing they've sort of gone with when it comes to Scarlet Witch, and that as a reason that does make sense in my mind. Like I say, as like, you know, I have a, I know it's not as far afield when it comes to, you know, distance, you know, geographically, but my, you know, I've my mum's from Ireland, she's lived in England actually at this point longer than she was in Ireland, and I'd say, you know, she doesn't have that strong of a accent. Some people do say to me that, you know, when they meet her, it is still there a bit. But, you know, it's not like it's that thick of an accent. So it's not that implausible. Do you guys know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of gonna suggest that maybe it was done to show that she's that good at, you know, being a different identity that she can just get rid of her accent.
I think the only problem with that is it shows, because she's never had a Russian accent at all, has she, in any of the other films she's
Yeah,
been in.
exactly.
Like never. And that's where it, that I'd say that's where that, because I'd agree with you that that could be a reason, but I would say that's where it falls on its face, to be honest. But I do like it where she's like taking out all those, you know, hammer agents, hammerhead agent, hammer tech agents. Security guards, that's the one I'm looking for. You know, and you know, you have the whole Happy struggling with this one guy. I do enjoy that sequence, has to be said. Do you have any thought on it, Yoin? On Black Widow?
I think that, as I say, as has been said, sorry, I couldn't get that out. It's a really good sort of introduction to sort of the nuances of the character and how much he'll do to hide. I do agree with you guys in that I wish the accent had been there now I think about it. But then again, I think with the MCU and accent, they seem to be trying to get rid of them or use them in interesting ways. Because, like, it was the case that with Elizabeth Olsen's Wanda that she had an accent initially and then didn't really for previous ones, and then in WandaVision the accent comes back when she's more angry, which is interesting and strange to me, but maybe that's a thing, I don't know. But yeah, I think that seeing where she actually sort of shows off what she can do in sort of action, and it was the turn into a full agent character is just really well done, and I think that it was a good introduction, but could have been better in retrospect, I suppose.
Sure. I will say when it comes to, I know it's probably something we'll talk about more in the next episode with Phase 2, but with this, I will say with the Scarlet Witch thing and her accent returning when she gets angrier, I will say in some experiences, one I have to remember is, you had people such as yourself, Ian, at our time at the Royal National College for the Blind in Hereford, who were from Wales, and there were some of them when I'd noticed when they got more emotional when talking, whether it was angry or they were passionate, their Welsh accent would get stronger. It's something I think can be the case. But I guess when I suppose before we give our rankings, one thing I will say about the film, when it comes to their villains, I think they are weaker. If I compare it to Obadiah Stane, in my mind, I think, definitely, Vanko and Hammer could have been a lot better. I know some people say it is, and I think Feige has come out and said that they do, they always want to put more emphasis on the hero, more of a spotlight on the hero, which is why, the villains, are in less of a spotlight. But if I have to compare them to, say, if I have to compare Ironmonger in the first film to both of these guys in the sequel, I don't think they're on the same level. That's because Rourke is doing an accent as Vanko, actually. Just talking about accents. It might not be a very good one. I'd probably say I'd leave that up to Russian people, people from Russia, to tell me how good it is. But he is doing an accent. Do you guys have any thought on them when it comes to villains?
I completely agree with you. They're not as strong. I feel like it might have been because in the first Iron Man, there's a personal connection between the hero and the enemy.
Possibly.
A lot of the time when they do that, it's just a stronger enemy. The audience cares a
Sure.
bit more. But here, it's like they tried to build up the enemy. With I think it even starts immediately with showing the enemy,
Yes.
but it just, I don't know, I didn't really care that much.
Yeah. That's fair. Would you agree with that, Yain?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that. You care more in the first one about the
Sure.
villain dynamic.
I also think before we rank, it would be remiss of me to not talk about the introduction of War Machine. Especially with, obviously, on the Star Wars episodes, we had Lewis with us, and I know he's a big fan of the character, and I think the introduction is done pretty well. I think it's just all the guns, isn't it? Just it's weird to say, but I think just people find him a bit more bad as a result. I don't know, either of you think.
Yeah, I guess when you look at the last fighting scene that I was gushing about,
Yes. That's what I was thinking.
War Machine is a little, yeah, he's a bit cooler in that. Yeah, that's true. I hadn't really thought about that, but it's because he's got a bit more. It feels like he's got more gimmicks. I'm sure that it's maybe not completely true, but we see more of it.
Sure.
So yeah,
No,
that's true.
definitely. I don't know if you want to say something on that, Yain. We can do our rankings for the film.
Yeah, we'll just say that I do understand why some people would think the War Machine sort of be considered, I don't know what the word would be, cooler in that respect, because I really like his sort of suit, but yeah.
Yeah, cool. So, what's your ranking then?
I think I've got to rank this one in friendly, as I did with the first Iron Man film, because although I think it's very good, I don't think it's as good as the first Iron Man film. So to rank it above would be a disservice.
Yvonne?
I would actually put it in amazing. I think I'd put it in as a low amazing though, but yeah.
Sure, no, that's fair. I have to say that I would go for friendly myself. So I guess if you're happy again to go with the majority, I guess it would end up in friendly
Yeah.
too,
Sounds good.
which seems quite fitting. Cool. So the following year, in 2011, again. Like 2008, we would have two films, but first is, I guess, our what could be considered the first sort of cosmic side when it comes to the MCU, like the introduction of the world with Thor, Thor. I apologize to people, I know I'm not very good at pronouncing my THs. Obviously, starring Chris Hemsworth. You've also got Natalie Portman, Tom Hiddleston as Loki. After he didn't get the role, the titular role. And we also have, Anthony Hopkins, Stella Skarsgård. Stellan Skarsgård. I think I said that wrong. And it's directed by Kenneth Branagh. Yain, do you want to go first on this film?
It's strange because with the Thor film, the more I rewatch this one, the more I kind of not don't like it, but don't like it as much as others if we were to rank them together as we're doing now. If you see what I mean, it's a good
Sure.
film. Introduction to, say, the cosmic side, although I think the one thing that really does bug me about that is that they sort of say that science and magic are the same thing, so it's like magic is really science, and rather than trying to think of a more sort of wondrous way to introduce it, when he's explaining it to Jane, it's sort of downplayed, which I understand. Like, we don't have to have fantastical magic systems in everything. So, well, that's my own personal preference on that one.
Yeah, see, that's where I mean, I don't know, especially at the time, I thought it was quite, because it's not so much, it's just saying where I come from, they're one of the same. I don't know, I always thought it was pretty good. But carry on.
So yeah, but I really do. I think it's a good introduction film for all the Thor characters, and Thor brings you into, I don't know who, if anyone else did, but I definitely got more interested in reading mythology again and reading more about it when I first watched this film. I do, the more I watch this film is the one that I want to watch. I want to read more original Norse mythology or more Thor comics. Like, that's one thing I definitely take away from this film, so that shows how good it is, even if I'm ranked potentially lower than others.
Sure. Okay. Before asking you, Yvonne, I feel like I should mention, of course, at the end of Iron Man 2, the post-credit scene was leading into this film with the scene where, Clark Gregg as Agent Coulson drives up to Mjolnir, being in the crater. So, what's your thoughts? on the film, Yvonne?
Oh, me. Oh, sorry.
It's fine. Don't worry.
I think it's really good. I'm a little bit biased because I'm a huge fan of Norse mythology.
Sure.
So obviously that was already like, okay, I love it.
Yeah.
Just because they were playing on that.
Sure. I was gonna say, it is worth, I guess, saying, you know, we are, all three of us are aware it's not, you know, accurate to traditional Norse mythology. It is, you know, Marvel's spin on it.
Oh, yeah. They're just playing with it, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's, you know, I like it. But I think, I don't know, the more I watch it, the more I'm like, why couldn't they have stayed a bit longer in his world and introduced Thor and everyone there rather than bringing him immediately to Earth? Because I feel like we should have gotten a bit more of just that.
On world. Asgard.
Yeah, a bit like they did with Guardians of the Galaxy. They just sort of stayed there rather than bringing it immediately to Earth. Unless I'm remembering this film wrong. But...
No, you're not. I mean, because, yeah, we basically get the bit at the beginning and then we go to Asgard for a bit. And then obviously they do the, we have the whole scene where, you know, Thor being the brash, arrogant, cocky king to be goes to Jotunheim and, you know, causes trouble. Yeah, and that's where obviously he's cast out by Odin.
Yeah.
And we go to New Mexico.
Yeah. Which I do understand it because then you get the perspective of, oh, okay, so this is human and this is what he would do. So I understand it like that, but I feel like as a human watching the film, you would have understood it as well if they'd stayed in his world.
Sure.
But, you know, it's just me wanting more exposition.
No, that's fair.
But otherwise, it's a really good film. And like, I think it's really good. It's just...
Sure.
Why?
What's your thought on the, chemistry between Natalie Portman and Chris Hemsworth, because I know a lot of people, I've heard quite a few people be critical of it, where personally I don't see a problem with it.
I don't see a problem with it either. I mean, it's very, like I said earlier, like it's the superhero trope, you know, you have to have that love interest, and there has to be a kiss, even if it's maybe, you know, a little rushed sometimes.
Yeah, that's fair.
What are people?
I don't know. I just, in the past, I've heard quite a few opinions that, you know, it's just not, they just don't have good chemistry, and, you know, and it's not a convincing romance as a result. And like I said, personally, I've never seen an issue with it. Like, I'm not saying it's the best romance in comic book film history by any means, but like I said, Thor chemistry was fine.
I think it's all right for the short amount of time that they have to establish it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's all right, yeah.
Sure. I feel like you guys are definitely, as far as opinions, it seems, are lower than mine. I'm not saying by any means that this film would be in superior for me to give that, but I do think it's underrated. However, it's not like it's my favourite film of the characters trilogy. We will get to that, obviously, in the future episode. But yeah, I really enjoy the film. I think Loki is the best villain up to this point. I don't think that's you know, a bold statement by any means. You know, Tom Hiddleston is great. I think I enjoy the comedy when Thor is on Earth. You know, the whole, you know, walking to a pet shop and going, I need a horse. You know, tossing the empty mug, another. You know, that whole thing where he's hit, you know, when he's in the hospital, you know, you're no match for the mighty, and then he's like, you know, put to sleep. I know, I really enjoy this film, I have to say. I really enjoy this world as a whole. Obviously, you know, You have the Warriors Free, as they're called, Lady Sif, Heimdall, obviously played by Idris Elba. What's her name? Why am I playing? Rene Russo playing the mother. Frigga?
Yeah.
I believe that's how you say it, yeah. I know. I said I will, as coincidentally, I guess, with the kind of world this is and the way they act, I will bow down to the majority, as I'm pretty sure you guys differ to me. So I guess I will say my piece now, and for me it would be in amazing. Maybe not at the top, but in amazing.
I agree with that, to be honest. I mean, okay. I have issues with it. I think they should have stayed in that world, but it's really pretty, and it's Norse mythology, so you've got me.
Fair play. Should I ask how the, yeah, with the effects, like with like the Rainbow Bridge and all that stuff, is it, does it, it still works?
I think so, yeah. I mean, if you're aware that it's, you know, done a little further back in the past, you're just like, oh, yeah, that looks good.
10 yeah. years ago.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it looks fine.
Yeah. And what about, I should ask, what about Asgard? Like, as a, like, how does it look? I'm curious.
It's pretty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always your word of the episodes, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I guess it will end up in amazing, Yoan, but, you know, for the record, where would it be for yourself if it was left up to you?
Well, this is going to surprise you, I think. But I agree with everyone. I think you've got overall convertible from thinking it from the Norse perspective and how well that was done. I think it should be from that perspective. And I think you've converted me on the say-so of how good of a villain Loki was when introduced and continued to be. In comparison to if people thought there was a villain problem before, like, I think that doesn't, this film doesn't fall into that villain problem. I know that there's something around that there might have been. But yeah, I think just being fair to the other films I've ranked, I'd have to put it personally in friendly, but it's a really, really good film, so I can see why it would end up in amazing.
Yeah, fair enough. So it's our first film in amazing. So yeah, later that year, Captain America: The First Avenger. We have Chris Evans as the titular character. Sebastian Stan plays Bucky Barnes again after originally auditioning for the role of Captain America. Just find it interesting how it's a similar situation to Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Hugo Weaving as the villain, Red Skull. We have, I was going to say Peggy Carter as Peggy Carter there. We have Hayley Atwell as Peggy Carter. And Dominic Cooper playing a younger version of Howard Stark, which I always found an interesting choice considering they already had Howard Stark being played in Iron Man 2. And I mean, I know people change as they get older, but I don't know, just always, it seemed an interesting decision to me that. But that might just be me. You also have, you know, Tommy Lee Jones is in this film, Stanley Tucci. It's got, like, when you actually look at it, it's quite, you know, quite a bit of firepower when it comes to the cast. There's only one person to go to when it comes to the, talking about this film first, Yvonne.
I love it.
I was going to say, for context for people, Yvonne is a, I feel like it's an understatement to say, a massive Captain America fan.
Yeah, that's an understatement. I can't say anything else but that I love it. Like, oh.
try and go into detail what you like about it, though, other than Chris Evans as Steve Rogers.
And that it's pretty.
Or that he's pretty.
That he's pretty.
I was going to say, Yvonne very much wanted to be, I'm sure
you are in a long line, but Yvonne very much wanted to be in Hayley Atwell's position where she has the hand on his peck.
I think I've thought a lot about this, like why I'm so into the Captain America character.
Sure.
Because it's even if it's not Chris Evans, I'm still like, oh, it's Captain America.
Yeah, I was going to say it is worth mentioning that your first introduction to Captain America wasn't these films, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about it was the cartoon series Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes.
Yes.
Which is amazing, by the way. If anyone has Disney Plus, you know, please go and watch it. It's only 2 seasons. Unfortunately, it was cancelled. Sucks.
I know, it was really good.
Brilliant theme as well.
No, it's just this idea of a man or a person getting kind of bullied down to believe that they're absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just keep on fighting and staying true to themselves.
Yeah.
It's that aspect of it that I absolutely adore. And he's just, no matter what happens, he stays true to what he believes in and what he is. And that is, you know, I just absolutely love that.
Yeah. No, it's interesting that you say that stuff, because I think some of the things you say is what makes other people go, you know, bleh. You know, they don't like that element. Funny enough, again, it would be good. It's unfortunate he's not here to talk about it, but I'm sure down the line it will come up. But I know in the past, Lewis was not a fan for sort of those reasons. However, with recently watching he was saying to me the other day that he's recently come around more to the films. Like the Captain America trilogy, that is, as a whole, and enjoying it. I think he's still more of a, you know, Iron Man guy, because again, as we sort of discussed with his love of the droids in the Star Wars universe, he's a big robotics guy. But yeah, the Boy Scout thing a lot of people don't like, but I don't know, for me, like you said, you know, I love the whole, you know, being beaten down, you know, won't, you know, keeps getting back up, believes in himself, and then, yeah, like you said, he doesn't change his morals for anyone, which obviously becomes more clear as we go throughout, you know, the MCU, you know, as we continue on. But even in this film alone, you know, it shows that, you know, he just wants to, you know, do, you know, what he believes is right, and it doesn't matter what other people tell him.
Exactly. It's very inspiring.
Mm.
And I understand as well that people probably are like, oh, it's inspiring for Americans because Captain America, you know?
Sure.
But I have never gotten the feeling that Steve is all about nationalism.
No, I think they've done quite well with that, haven't they?
Yeah, I feel like the people around him and the people who made him Captain America are the people that are about nationalism, but not Steve himself.
No.
So,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Like, I don't know, I feel like the character views himself as not just a symbol of America. It is a symbol of, I guess, freedom and stuff, which unfortunately, you know, I say that and people think America, because it's what's become attached to it, you know, the whole, it's the same with Superman, to sort of, you know, cross the streams here with Marvel talking a bit about DC, but it's like, you know, he fights for truth, justice and the American way. That was the, you know, traditional slogan for the character.
Yeah.
And again, another thing that makes people go, you know, turns people off automatically, because it's, you know, just big, you know, big blue, you know, Boy Scout who's just, you know, America, you know, sort of thing.
Exactly.
Mm.
But, yeah. I guess we have, obviously there's more to discuss, but yeah, and do you have anything to wade in when it comes to this part of the film?
What, as in the Boy Scout thing?
Well, yeah, with Captain America as a character and Steve Rogers.
Well, I think, I guess I'm really overdramatic. I think it's going to. I really, when I first watched this film, I didn't really enjoy that. And then when I watched it with a friend of mine, kind of pointed out, well, isn't that the rhetoric you take to things when it comes to wanting to be a counselor and stepping into every situation to try and help people, maybe more dramatic, maybe even more times than you should, even though you know you should leave it alone. And I thought, well, I suppose it kind of came from comic books, and that is kind of the rhetoric that they're showing in this film in a much bigger and grander way than I would. I'm not saying anything like that, but like it's so I kind of really liked it when rewatching it for this. I really rated this film for that reason, and as you say, it's that's what can kind of turn people off for this film, like the Boy Scout stuff. But I rated that for that reason because I think anyone with a disability as well has always felt a bit smaller than they might be at some point. And this film sort of shows that the little guy isn't always the one that gets beaten down, or the little guy isn't always a bad thing. So,
Yeah,
well.
I know. So, I feel like some people may argue that that notion is undone by his, because he does have, at least a disability with his asthma, if not, I think he has a few others when he's before the serum. And some may say, isn't that all undone by him getting the serum? But I don't know. I think because he still keeps, that part of him, he doesn't, he doesn't lose it. So that this part of the podcast isn't just gushing about Captain America. What else about the film do you enjoy, Yvonne?
I think going back a little bit on what I've said earlier about four, it's just nice to get the introduction to the character in their world, obviously a bit easier because it's Earth.
Sure.
But it's just very nice to get that and see exactly who they are
Yeah.
in their own environment rather than the awkwardness of, oh, where am I?
Sure. So, do you think the period piece part of the film is done very well then?
I think so,
Yeah.
yeah.
No, it's a fair point. Yang, would you agree with that?
I kind of, when I first watched it, as I say, that kind of aesthetic made me think, oh, that's a bit of a strange sort of, it didn't feel like a Marvel film when I first watched it as much because of the 40s aesthetic. But when you realise that it literally is basically like straight out of a comic book, in my opinion, when you're rewatching it, like, oh, this is great. I think that it was done really well.
Yeah. So, and I guess I'll direct this more to you, Yvonne, with you being the film student. As far as like Joe Johnson's directing, like, do you think it's very good?
Yeah, the directing, because I always struggle a little bit with figuring out exactly what it is that is the director's input and what is the writer's input. But you can tell from the way that it's been shot and the acting as well and how it flows, everything, that they're doing an amazing job.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Definitely.
It's funny you mentioned the writers, actually. That's unfortunately, with a lot of films, I struggle to remember writers. But when it comes to this film, it's Christopher Marcus and Stephen McFeely. And some people may wonder, oh, why do you remember them and not the others? Because these two guys went on to do the rest of the Captain America trilogy, as well as Avengers: Infinity War and Endgame, which of course all those four films we will get onto. But it's just interesting that these are the guys who sort of they, on the writing standpoint, I'd say it's fair that they became heavily involved, shall we say.
Yes.
Yeah, and the most quality consistent side of things.
Yeah, I think most would say. Obviously, that's something we can get more in detail in episode 2 and episode 3. But what about,
again, in my mind anyway, following Loki earlier in the year, I think this is another very strong villain who I actually think Red Skull gets overlooked for how good of a villain he is and how well Hugo Weaving plays the role. What do you guys think? As Yvonne just spoke a bit, should we go to you first, Jorian, on that one?
Okay. yeah, I think that he plays it really well, which obviously plays into a big part of how well this film is overall. Like, I think there's the phrase of the hero can only sometimes be as good as the villain, and I think he matches that task very well.
Yeah. Would you echo those sentiments, Yvonne?
Definitely. I mean, first of all, it's Hugo Weaving. He's an amazing actor to begin with.
Yeah, he's alright, yeah.
And alright.
Yeah. I'm being facetious.
And then obviously he's also just written really well. I mean, like we said, you know, he's we've got a strong hero with strong morals and ideas, yeah. And then have to have the same thing in the enemy, and we have that.
Yeah. And I guess the other two components to mention is obviously the romance and the chemistry between Chris Evans and Hayley Atwell. Obviously, we mentioned the peck touch, which was improvised by Hayley Atwell. Apparently, you know, that wasn't originally, she wasn't originally told to do that. But are you guys a fan of this on-screen relationship?
I am a fan of Peggy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
Am I a fan of the romance? Yes, but I feel like it was a little rushed in that particular film.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah, they definitely established romance much better outside of the film.
Yeah, that's fair. Would you agree with that, Yaron, or disagree?
Yeah, I think I've got to disagree. Maybe it's because I'm not a forward-thinking film student, or don't have the mindset of a film student, I should say. But just genuinely, I thought it was really well done in the time they had. I loved the scene where she, you know, walks in and he's basically being forced upon by the receptionist or the woman, and she sees him and he tries to basically cover himself and say, like, no, that wasn't what you think it was. Not what it looks like. Didn't mean for that to happen. It's like, I know what you must think. I don't think anything, Captain, not one thing. She just, when he gets the shield, she just takes the gun and shoots directly. And he's like a second's fraction out of time. Like, that's got to be a what-if episode. What if he couldn't lift the shield quick enough? I mean, it'd be a short what-if episode, but it'd be funny. So, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
funny to think that that actress is Marjorie from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? So yeah, I just kind of really like the little moments. Maybe it wasn't done as well as others, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good for what it is. Yeah. Different.
And I guess the other component I was going to bring up was Sebastian Stan as Bucky. Are you, were you guys a fan of him in the film? Yvonne, start with you.
I was a fan of him in the film, yeah.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit like we got tiny bit more into that relationship than we did with Peggy, which is a shame because it's actually a really cute romance between Peggy, not Bucky.
Well, that's a whole nother fan fiction.
I'm a fan of him, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I guess the other thing I mentioned as well before you say anything on that, Yaron, is I think this is probably the first MCU film where the score is noticeable to maybe even, you could call it iconic, with the Captain America theme. Would you guys agree with that?
I would, definitely.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yourself, Yaren?
Yeah, and I think just in general with the score, it just, it works for what it is, and love or hate that Star Spangled Man song, it will be in for weeks afterwards.
Yeah, it's in my head now, so.
Yeah. Sorry.
I mean, to be fair, it's not a bad, I think it's done quite well, like the cheesiness factor as well. Because that's the thing at the end of the day, isn't it? Like, this is a guy, you know, who's basically wearing the American flag. You know?
Yeah.
It's quite, it just reeks of cheesiness.
Yeah. And they played on it very well with that particular song and that sequence.
Exactly. I think we're good to go ahead and rank. I will say before we do, two of my favourite lines, and they might be my two actually favourite lines in the film, are actually said by Tommy Lee Jones playing Colonel Phillips. There is the one, so where the Hydra soldier is running up to him and, you know, yelling, you know, cut off one head, two more will take its place. He shoots the guy, you know, dead on, and then just goes, let's find two more. That always gets a laugh out of me. Also, when Colonel Phillips, Peggy, and Cap are in the Jeep, Peggy obviously, you know, grabs Steve before he goes, you know, gives him a snog, frankly. And Steve just sort of looks dumbfounded at Phillips, to which he goes, I ain't kissing you.
That's done really well.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's always, both of those always get a reaction out of me. So with ranking, what are people thinking? Yvonne, should we go to you first?
Superior.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I'm flawed, as I'm sure anyone else is listening to this. Yain?
Yeah, I think I'd agree with that, to be honest, which, as I say, is a shocker for me, because I didn't think much of the film when I first watched it, but the more and more I watch it, I really...
Do you mean to tell me, Yain, that your people's can change their opinions over time?
I know, it's shocking, isn't it?
I know. Because I thought, you know, you would be, you know, dead set from the get-go. You know.
The one switch that goes up in a human's head when they can't change an opinion whatsoever.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's going to be in superior then due to majority. Again, for the record, I'd say for me personally, it would have been top of amazing, not superior. But, you know, again, you know, democracy and all that. So we finally come to the Avengers, or Marvel's Avengers Assemble, as it was here in the UK, due to that 70s spy TV show and film called The Avengers we had. I think it was the 70s. Yaren, what's your thoughts on this movie? Oh, sorry. Sorry. I realised, unlike the others, so obviously you have all the previous, you know, the titular characters from the previous films returning, except we mentioned Mark Ruffalo is cast as Bruce Banner. Loki, Tom Hiddleston returns as Loki with the main villain. You also have Black Widow played by Scarlett Johansson again. Jeremy Renner as Hawkeye, who I'm aware we didn't mention his introduction in 4. I guess because it is done so quickly, it's not like Black Widow's introduction. And then, of course, it's written and directed by Joss Whedon. Sorry about that, Yaren. The floor is yours.
Yeah, right. Well, there's so many good things to say about this film that I feel like I could talk for another hour, but I won't. I think that even if you don't, even if it's not the top ranked one, which for reference, I think if I was ranking these, well, I am, but if first in my own head, I think First Avenger actually just beats this for me, but it's definitely second by a long stretch. But even if you don't enjoy the film that much, you can't deny like how I think it iconically built up a cinematic universe, and up to this point, you know, everyone was trying to make a cinematic universe, seeing the success of off the success of this and how well it was done. It's fair to say, and how much it made in its opening weekend, which was
a record at the time.
It was a record at the time.
At least in North America. I don't think it was internationally, but I might be wrong. But obviously then became the, it made the most money in total at the time. It has been surpassed multiple times, including by some of its successors.
I think that what you just have to say is there's so many quotable lines in this, none of which I'll quote because I'm sure we'll get into into that. But and also just, I think the one thing you have to say, if you were to give a small review of this movie, the one thing you do have to say is just, if you love Iron Man, you'll love this movie. He's a central piece and it's done really well. So, yeah.
No, that's fair. Okay, we'll come over to you, Yvonne. Before you start, just thought I'd add as well, Samuel Jackson, Clark Gregg return as Nick Fury and Agent Coulson. And we have the introduction of Maria Hill, played by Kobe Smulders. But yeah, floor is yours, Yvonne.
Thank you. This is an amazing film. It really is. And again, because I love it, it's difficult to say exactly what it is because there's so much. But I think the main thing to talk about is just how well that they do the whole thing of bringing all these superheroes together, because it's not flawless.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what I like.
Right.
Yeah, because obviously all these superheroes, they're strong characters in themselves, and then they have to find a way to sort of share the floor with all these other strong characters, and then something super dangerous comes in and brings them together, and it's just, I don't know, it's just amazingly well done.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I guess I can't really add much more to what you guys said. For the record, I'd say this is my, not to say that other films couldn't be in superior, which obviously will continue to be the top tier for our other two videos, but this for me is the top, and I think it's just because of what it represents as well for me. Not just that I think it is a very good film, but this is really what got me back into superheroes. This is what got me really more into film, to the point that, you know, that I am now, which is, you know, I go to the cinema multiple times. Obviously haven't been in the last year or so due to the pandemic, and I'm really hopeful, pretty sure they will, as in cinemas will survive when we come out of this. But yeah, it's all that stuff, and obviously it sucks that you know, stuff has come out recently about Joss Whedon, you know, as a person and all that. But as far as the film goes, you know, for me it doesn't affect it. You know, I really, like I said, I really do enjoy it. I think, like you said, the way they come together is done very well. I think that's what tips it over as well, is it's bringing the previous films leading up to us, all five, you know, is just, you know, wrapped up in a bow quite nicely. You know, there's no, you know, everyone thought that, you know, this was a ridiculous idea, you know, back in the day, as it were, you know, when they were doing this. But yeah, it's just played us so well. No disrespect to Edward Norton. I think Mark Ruffalo's addition is for the better.
Yes.
really enjoy him in the role. I did mention Spider-Man is my favourite as far as Marvel characters and superheroes in general, but Hulk is also in my top five. Really enjoy him as a character. Obviously, Cap is still being Cap. You know, four is four, Iron Man's Iron Man. As you said, they're all doing very well in their roles. Black Widow, you're given more of a backstory for Black Widow with some mentions. I know some people say Hawkeye is probably the most underserved of the team, and that probably is correct overall, I think. However, I don't agree with the thought that, you know, he was benched as a result of being controlled by Loki for the first part of the film. I feel like it made sense for the story. You know?
Yeah. Work.
You know, it's how Loki gets a load of people to work for him because of, you know, Barton knows who to contact. On that, I will say it is a shame that Marvel Studios, because as much as I do love the Marvel Cinematic Universe, it's obviously not perfect. Nothing is. And one thing I think is a shame is that they could have used Hawkeye as a means to for representation. For those who don't know, in the comics, Clint Barton is deaf. Not fully, or at least not to the point, like, he wears hearing aids. And I think it's a shame that they have never included that. Here's hoping that they may do it in the Hawkeye Disney Plus show, because it is, you know, I do have to say, it's not like he was born deaf in the comics. He became deaf due to an accident. So, you know, we'll see what happens on that. But I think Jeremy Renner is good in the role, personally. And, I mean, everyone's good in the role. It's really hard for me to criticise this film other than what I just did.
Mm.
I guess on the representation point, Yoann, do you have anything to say on that?
I mean, I'm as you say, I'm hoping they include it in the Disney Plus series. And I think that's the aim of the Disney Plus series, really, just to expand on characters in ways they've obviously wanted to but couldn't fit in before. And I'm really excited for what to get expanded on.
Yeah. I know. Is there anything else for you to say, Yvonne? I don't know if you want to comment on what we've just said, or, you know, start quoting stuff, as Yoann sort of referenced earlier.
I'm not too sure. I think it's a shame as well that they didn't add in that whole representation. It's just, I don't understand why that was such a bother to add, but oh well.
Yeah.
And I also wanted to add, I had thought about Mark Ruffalo. I think maybe a huge reason for why why we would think he's a little bit better as Bruce Banner than Edward Norton.
Yeah, a bit more than little, but yeah.
yeah. it's probably because he's such a, even when he's trying to act tough, he's just such a teddy bear. And then having that contrast with this monster kind of the Hulk is just, it's yeah, satisfying in a strange way.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's on that, like, the one that always interested me with, like, Mark Ruffalo's told the story on chat shows where, you know, where actors are usually, you know, asked to, like, bulk up, get in, you know, very good shape for comic book films due to the characters they're playing. He was actually asked to try, if he could, to lose some weight because they wanted the contrast to be more of a thing. Which I find funny, because a part of me is there, like, I mean, he's turning into a
you know, big green behemoth. I don't, you know.
Yeah, I was just going to say.
Faster than that, really.
But I do get what they mean. Like, I think there's been different versions, but I do think a lot of people do prefer when Bruce Banner has been portrayed as, you know, a skinny guy, not a muscular guy.
Yeah. But he's also just the scientist. He's not the part of the character that is the superhero.
So no, exactly. And I think that's why people prefer the, you know, not muscular version of Bruce Banner.
Exactly. Yeah.
And it's also nice that I think they finally managed to get the Hulk more accurate, like the whole... Because that was, a criticism of the Incredible Hulk that we didn't really mention, is Hulk is arguably a bit too big. You know, and they do make him a bit smaller in 4 Avengers. He's obviously still big. But it's just like, if you say, have him standing next to a regular person, the size, like the height is a bit more, I'd say, accurate to how he's been portrayed for years in comics than wherein, say, in The Incredible Hulk and even, you know, the 2003 version of Hulk, which, you know, we shall not speak of in this episode and we will get to in, I'm sure, a future one. But, you know, they tower above everyone. And that's never really been the way Hulk's... is in comics. Like, he, it's more about his, you know, I guess, you know, the size of him width wise he's not normally that much taller than humans.
That's true.
Yeah, it's also the first time Hulk's played with motion capture as well, if I have to say that. Mark Ruffalo playing him, first time an actor had done it. Previously he'd just being completely CGI, no motion capture.
I see.
Yeah.
I was going to say they might not have had the technology, but they did, because they did it in Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, technically they would have done, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Granted, I don't know how easily accessible it would have been, but yeah, they definitely had the technology.
Might have been budget and stuff, yeah.
Possibly, yeah, exactly. I don't know. Before we rank and... wrap this up, is there any quotes people want to get out there?
I understood that reference.
Yes. For me, it was Puny God. I actually had a t-shirt with that on it.
I love
it. Yeah, over the years it's a bit... Like, I got a t-shirt where it's actually the silhouette of Hulk flinging Loki around and says Puny God. But I don't have it anymore. Gave it to my wife, actually. Because it's a bit too small for me now. And it's a bit faded as well, so she wears it as an indoors t-shirt. Do you have any iron that come to mind that you want to get out there?
I mean, just the thing was like, when they're doing all the planning, and it's like, just turn the ball, smash. It's like, how do I make the ball?
That's one thing, actually. Yeah, that's one thing as well, actually, talk about score. The Avengers theme.
Oh, it's so good.
Yes. Again, done by Alan Silvestri, who is the one who did it in Captain America the First Avenger. And yeah, it's a real good theme.
Yeah.
And yeah, that shot in New York where you do the circling when they're like assembling, as it were. It's good stuff.
Yes.
So I think it's fair to say, for three of us, superior. I know we'd normally ask individually, but it seems pretty clear. Is that correct, Ian?
Yep, definitely. Yeah.
And I guess, so that would bring us to the end of phase one. And to reiterate what we've got, so it's Nothing in Carnage, Venomous, you've got The Incredible Hulk. In Friendly, we've got Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2. In Amazing, you've got the first 4 film. And then Captain America, the First Avenger, and The Avengers in Superior. I think both of you may have mentioned it, but which would be ahead in Superior of those 2 films
for you. Yvonne?
I would probably put Avengers ahead.
Okay. Yain, for yourself?
I think just because of how many times I've rewatched it now, how much fondly I look on the film, First Avenger even just beats Avengers, but
that's fair.
But I'm in the minority in that one.
I mean, in this situation, you are. That's all I can tell you. I would go with Avengers ahead. Like as I said, as a whole, Avengers is my favourite film when it comes to the Marvel Cinematic Universe as a whole. And even beyond that, I will say to people, it is my favourite movie. Well, this has been a good one. We will be back next week to do phase two. So that's Iron Man 3 all the way to Ant-Man. So again, another 6 films. And again, Yvonne and Yaya will be assisting me with that venture. So thank you for joining me this time around, you guys.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
That was Watching With No Eyes. If you haven't combusted at anything we said, it would be very much appreciated if you can like, share, and rate the episode. You can follow me on Twitter at TheBlindBrennan. Whether you want to yell at me or have a civilized conversation, or you could write a strongly worded email to TheBlindBrennan@gmail.com. If you're wanting a podcast with a different subject, why not check out Listen With Your Eyes, where myself and guests discuss what it's like living with a disability. Now by all means go, but please join us again next time.